Okay, good morning. Let's continue in Pirkei Avos. Hopefully we're going to finish up this Mishnah today. We left off, I believe, at number 12, correct? Good. Miracle number 8. So we're not going to go through each of these last ones, but we'll focus on a few of them. So miracle number 8 was Omdim Tzufufim Mishtachavim Rivachim, which means what? Good. When they stood together, they were squished together, right? And ultimately, again, Mishtachav and Rachma. When they bowed down, there was room for everyone. So let's analyze this miracle a little bit. So if you take a look at number 12, Hanes, so measure Shmuel again. Hanes Aches, the eighth miracle was, Omdim Tzifu Mishtachav and Rivachim. Hodia b'nei zeh, ki kemosha omdim ba'azara. So first of all, let's analyze this just a moment. Where is this miracle actually taking place? In the Azara, good. It's very important. Remember again, this miracle, although what we've seen kind of up until this point, is that most of the miracles were much more focused on the Beis HaMikdash and certain things of the Avoda and the Kohanim. I'm sorry, I apologize for sucking on a can, so I'm a little bit sore throat. So this miracle is unique because it is a miracle which ultimately was done with the general populace who were assembled in the Beis HaMikdash. So this is in the Azara. Presumably, when are we talking about? When this miracle occur? Right. So, let's think about this. Is there a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel on Yom Kippur? Rosh Hashanah? No. Now, the truth is, we will see there were a lot of Jews who did come from Yom Kippur. We're going to come back to Yom Kippur in just a moment. But Bepashtos, you would assume that this miracle is referring to the Regalim. Because remember, again, during the Regalim, there's an obligation for everyone to ascend to Yerushalayim. Yes?
So then, how do people, if there was no davening, and you had to bring Kabbalah, and Kabbalah has been Bechamikdash, what did people in Sfah do?
So, it depends on the Yomtiv, meaning, so...
Every day.
Oh, they would wait. They would wait to bring... If you knew you were going to Yerushalayim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkis, you'd bring your Kabbalahs then.
But that's a lot of Kabbalahs.
Well,
I mean, like,
No. Shachar, when we speak about the Karbanos of Shachar, that's the Karban Tamid. That's the communal offering, which they're offering up in the Beis HaMikdash twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, for everyone. That is correct, right? Otherwise, but think about this. Even aside from the, like, logistical issue, there's a financial issue. You know, if you had to set aside an animal each and every day for a Tamid Shal Shachar, Tamid Shal Ben Abayim, That's a lot of animals. Right? Now again, and the hope is that people aren't sinning so much in between the Yamim Tovim, right? Because otherwise you have to bring up a lot of Chatas offerings as well. But again, so with Pashtos, you would assume that this is talking about by the Regalim. So by the Regalim, everyone's coming up, the Azar, the courtyard is crowded, everyone when they stand up, they are bunched together, squished together. When they bow down, there is room. So hold on to this for just a little bit. So he says, Hodia b'nei sazeh. Now, what's the message in this miracle? We're going to come back a little bit more to the timing of this miracle. But first, what's the message in this miracle? Ki kemosha omdim ba'azara, hayu omdim tzufufim, kilomar, zebit sadzeh, dkhukin, velochtzin zezeh, kishahayu mishtachim, hayu revachim. So remember again, even though when they're all standing next to each other, they're packed shoulder to shoulder, but yet when they bow down, there's room for everyone. Kein Yisrael, kasher yihiyu hatsaros, lochatzim osam, yashuvu b'tshuva b'eis sarasam, v'yikdu v'yishtachavu lelukim, v'tekef yetsu mitzara l'rivacha, ki teshuas Hashem k'harefayim. So someone explain this phrase to me. What does that mean? What did the Medrash Shmuel just say? What's the metaphor? Standing shoulder to shoulder, squeezed together, is supposed to be a metaphor for, according to Medrash Shmuel, tsaros, suffering. Right? Now again, on a very basic level, well, you know, when you're squished together, the group of people is exceptionally uncomfortable. That discomfort is supposed to be a metaphor for the suffering of Klal Yisrael. There are going to be, unfortunately, many incredible times of difficulty, overwhelming difficulty, tragic difficulty, sad difficulty. But yet something amazing happens, which is what? When we are mishtachavim, that's only when we stand up straight. But when we are mishtachavim, when we go ahead and we bow down, so ultimately, again, says the Mezhe Shmuel, so what happens? What happens? So the bowing down, according to Rishon, represents what?
Tshuva.
represents tshuva. So when we bow down, ultimately, again, that's where we find the revach. That's where we find the open space. So what? Let's talk about what the Medrash Shmuel says, and then what we think he means. So what he says is, omdim tzefufim represents times of difficulty. Right? Times of difficulty. Where Klal Yisrael, we literally feel squeezed. There's nowhere to move. There's nothing to do. There's nowhere to go. I just feel fundamentally overwhelmed by the enormity of my circumstances. And then what happens? So ultimately, again, the Medrash Shmuel says, but something amazing happens. The moment we bow, the moment we do tshuva, the moment we return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what happens? What happens? Suddenly everything is fine. Plenty of room tzaras are over. What's your problem with the Medrash Shmuel? Well, not always the case, right? Remember again, any time you see seemingly oversimplifications of the suffering of Klal Yisrael, generally, again, it's not meant to be taken literally, but it's meant to convey a message. Could the Medrash Shmuel literally say that when we're suffering, the moment we do tshuva, that's it, the suffering stops? We know that's not true. We know it's not true. We know that, first of all, we know there's a concept of tzadik v'ralo, which means that at the end of the day, people suffer even not for chet. Right? People suffer for a whole variety of different reasons that often we don't understand. What the Medrash Shmuel is trying to highlight, I think, is as follows. Well, let me ask you, what do you think his message is? If it's not to be understood literally, I'm suffering, once I bow down, I do tshuva, suddenly everything is okay. If it's not literal, then what is the message? Oh, beautiful. It could be that mishtachavim revachim means revach doesn't necessarily have to mean that the problem is over. Revach could also mean that I have the ability now to better cope with it. You know, sometimes when we face a challenge in life, and this is true on a personal level as well, so sometimes when that challenge kind of descends upon us, it's often overwhelming to the point that I'm like immobilized. I don't even know what to do or how to do it. But then a person takes a little bit of time and they find perspective. So sometimes the way to find perspective in the midst of difficult times is attaching yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more ruchnius a person has in life, the greater their ability to have proper perspective and clarity. Does ruchnius automatically solve the tzaras? Very important question. Does ruchnius solve the tzaras? No. No, or I should say, not necessarily, or it may solve the tzaras, but even if it does, it's probably not going to be immediate, right? There's a process that ultimately we undergo in life. But one thing is clear, which is that when you bow before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which represents connection to the divine, where there is connection to the divine, there's revach. What does revach mean, literally? Space. What does space represent? In this context, perhaps going to Medrash Shmuel, perspective. You know, when you're suffering, sometimes all you see is the suffering right in front of you. You don't see the rest of life, you don't see the context, you don't see lessons, you don't see anything. But when you take the time out of the suffering to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mishtachavim, suddenly there's revach. Suffering might still be there, but there's perspective, there's space, there's the ability to achieve some level of comprehension. Yes? Space. Literally, so again, literally it's omdim to when they're standing, they're squished together, mishtachar, they bow down with space. So we're just suggesting, according to the Medrash Shmuel, space over here means perspective. Perspective. And I think we alluded to this a little bit last time as well, which is that part of the power of ruchnius in general is that ruchnius provides you with perspective. When you have a good relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so ultimately, again, you are able to see and appreciate, or at least believe in the hashkacha of every single situation. What's the greatest example of this? That ruchnius ultimately gives you greater perspective. The greatest example of this? Sorry? What's Rabbi Hanina Mendoza?
With the story that we had around
him. You mean like with the golden leg of the table and things like that?
I'm thinking more the vinegar and the water.
The vinegar and the water. Good, good. Simpler. I don't mean miraculous stuff. I mean just like for life perspective. I think the greatest example of this is Gamzula Tova. The concept of Gamzula Tova. Right? The concept of Gamzula Tova is something we are all familiar with. right? Everything is to the good. I'm not going to take a show of hands about how many people actually believe Gamzu L'Tova. Because I've come to learn that I think all of us say it. Most of us don't understand it. And few of us actually really believe it. Gamzu L'Tova is often what is said by people in the midst of difficult situations when you want to sound from, but you don't really have, and like you just don't know what in a million years is going on. Gamzu L'Tova is a statement that is made by someone who has emunah. What Gamzu L'Tova means is I am connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, again, I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. I believe that there's a hashkacha in every single thing, and that somehow, by the way, what does Gamzu L'Tova mean? When we say that, what does that mean? It's going to be good. What does it mean? It's good, that everything's going to turn out great? Is that what it means?
No.
Because a lot of things don't turn out great. Gamzu L'Tova means Tova is the Vayar Elokim Ki Tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world with a Seder. There's an order. And there is a rhyme and reason for everything. Sometimes things happen and they look so haphazard. Sometimes things happen and ultimately we don't understand the role. Gamzu L'Tova means, because I have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I recognize that the world is run with Hashkachas Hashem. Because the world is run with Hashkachas Hashem, everything that happens is an indispensable piece of the divine plan. I don't understand it. Maybe at times I don't even like it. But at the end of the day, I appreciate the tov in it. Tov might not mean that it's going to be necessarily good for me in the end. I might not like the result. But I recognize that whatever it is that is unfolding is part of the hashkacha of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That Gamzu L'Tova, that's the Tova Vayar Elokim Kitov. It's the Tov that appears in Bereishis over and over and over again. When does the Kaddish Baruch Hu say Tov in Bereishis? When? When? After each day. But what does it mean after each day? After what? After there's a unit of, a Mesudr unit of creation that is created. Tov doesn't mean that everything is great. Tov means that everything is as it should be. Vayar Elokim Ki Tov. That's why at the end of the sixth day, what does the Torah say? Vayar Elokim, right? What did he say? Tov Ma'od. Tov Ma'od means the complete completion. Everything is done. So what the Medrash Shmuel was saying was something so dramatically amazing. We all have those sefufim moments in life. We all have them. And a lot of people just lose themselves in those moments. What's the goal? Nishtachavim. To make sure that I have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To make sure that when he says tshuva, tshuva could mean tshuva, but tshuva also means a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you have that, suddenly revachim. Suddenly again, that endows you. It doesn't take away necessarily all of the problems, but it absolutely gives you the right kind of perspective. But then he goes on and he says something else. V'mashapir yishrashi zal, tzifufin milashon saf alamayim. So this is actually amazing. There's another possibility that tzifufin is from lashon saf. Saf means what? To what? To float, right? Saf, to float on the water. That this is actually, first of all, it's just an incredible Beis HaMikdash image. Listen to this. Shemerov HaKal, Hayu Nitchokim Ish Ba'achiv, Atche Hayu Raglehem Nitulos Min Ha'aretz Va'omdim Ba'avir. Right? Sometimes the Azara was so packed, that's what? You were squished against people to the point that what? Their feet didn't touch the ground. In other words, they were just held, can you imagine that? You're just held in place, right, by literally being smushed against the other people. Sometimes, omdim tsefufim. There are people literally whose feet didn't touch the ground. What's the message? He says, Yermos ledavar acher. Kibiyo sha'arasha enlo yeshiva ba'olo kimosha kasuf. Kimosha kasuf ha'kasuf. Kesheves amal chashirosh. Ukiilu raglov netulos min ha'aretz. Yem yashuv ela elokim b'yishtachaveh. So this is actually quite beautiful. Shows another possibility is that omdim tsefufim. There are times in life, you see, according to the second approach, we would normally read this mission as omdim tsefufim, mishtachavim rivachim. The Bereshit says no, second approach is omdim tsefufim. There are times in life where you're standing, but your feet aren't on the ground. What does it mean that your feet aren't on the ground? What does it mean? You're not rooted in the life you should be living. I'm not rooted in this world. I don't mean not rooted in this world that I'm such a ruchni being and I'm not rooted in this world. I mean, sometimes my feet aren't firmly planted on the ground. I'm not living the life I should be living. I'm not the person I should be. I haven't developed the persona that I know I need to acquire. Sometimes there's a situation like that in life. But what happens? So what's the goal? mishtachavim revachim. So what's the goal ultimately? Again, if you're omdin tzefufim, if your feet don't touch the ground, what's the objective? What should you do? Right, mishtachavim means what? Bow. In order to bow, what do you have to do? Now remember, understand, bowing in the Beis Hamikdash was what? Right, it was what we call pishut yadayim v'raglayim, meaning it was like a total prostration. It's not like a bow like this. It's a prostration on the floor. So it's actually quite amazing. So according to the second Rosh Hashanah, Shmuel is saying, omdin tzefufin. There are times in life where I'm just like totally detached from the life I should be living, the person I should be, the world I should be in. So what's the remedy? Mishtachavim. You gotta re-root yourself in the life you should be having. And ultimately, again, if you do that, then revachim. Then ultimately, again, you'll find the proper revach. You know, revach could be space, revach could also be wealth, revach could also be abundance, right? So ultimately, again, a second message referring to a person who is detached needs to become attached, which is an incredible, incredible idea, because this imagery that sometimes I'm just detached from the life I should be living, I'm detached from the person I should be, I'm detached from the personality that I should create, and so ultimately, again, I have to reattach myself in some dramatic way. There's another piece on this Mishnah, which I didn't include on the sheet, but you'll take this down, the Rabbeinu Yonah. So the Rabbeinu Yonah explicitly, I don't know why it wasn't, I think I'm missing a page from this Rashi book. Okay, we'll do a Baal Peh. The Rabbeinu Yonah writes something amazing. He says that this Mishnah, as was mentioned before, is dafka referring to Yom Kippur. Dafka referring to Yom Kippur. Right? So interestingly enough, even though there is no mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel on Yom Kippur, nevertheless, we know the Gemara in Masechet Yoma already tells us that even before the sun came up on Yom Kippur, the Azara was packed with people. So no, it was not an obligation to be Ola Regal, people still came. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says something amazing. What's the centerpiece of the Avodah of Yom Kippur? On a personal level, right? What's the major part of Yom Kippur?
Tshuva.
But how does that manifest itself in the Yom Kippur davening? Vidui. Right? It's all about vidui. All about vidui, right? Vidui, remember again, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, Kishiyasa Tshuva v'yachsro mechato chayiv lehisvados. Vidui is the first step to Tshuva. Now, what's interesting is, so today, we have organized vidui. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, what was vidui? You confess your sins. So let's see how this plays out for just a moment. So imagine, right? You're standing in the Beis HaMikdash together with your whole family, your friends. What are you going to be a bit reticent to do? Right, vidui. I'm happy to confess my sins before God, not before my neighbor. Right? And by the way, I want to point out, you're not supposed to actually. You're not supposed to share your averus with other people. Right? Again, if I was chas shalom person mechal or shem shem mefarhesed, do something public, okay, then it's a public tshuva. But in general, the averos that I do, that I have to do tshuva for, that's my own business. In fact, again, publicizing those miracles, not miracles, publicizing those sins actually looks like what? Looks brazen. Actually looks like a lack of remorse. You ever hear like people sometimes, I remember when I used to do this. Say, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. Like you used to. Meaning, and furthermore, if you're a real Baal Tshuva, you don't want to talk about that stuff. That's just a different part of your life. It's just, it's not who you are. It's not what you want to be identified by. So since we have a logistical issue. The Azara is filled with people. Now remember again, filled, Tabah, remember there was an Ezras Nashim, right? There was a balcony for the women. It's filled everywhere. It's filled everywhere. So what's going to happen? It's Yom Kippur. I have to do Tshuva. Tshuva requires Vidui, but I don't want to do Vidui if someone could go ahead and hear me. So says Rabbi, you know, something amazing. What happened? There was a miracle. What was the miracle? Omdim Tzavuvim, Mishtachavim. When they would bow down to do Vidui, what would happen? Suddenly there was space. How much space? How much space? Enough space that I could whisper Vidui and no one else is going to hear me. What an incredible, incredible miracle. And if you think about it again, what's the message of that miracle? What's the message?
Hashem cares about our
feelings. First of all, it's a sensitivity issue. Good, Hashem cares about our feelings. What else? Abin Adam Lamako message. What's the message? How much HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our tshuva? How much HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearns for us to come home? how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearns for us to reconnect with Him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally suspends the laws of just like space, right? Just the spatial realities of this world. He suspends it for one reason, so that I can do vidui. You should say, you know what, I did the Avera, so who cares? You know what, that's my problem, someone else here. I shouldn't have sinned in the first place. If I was so concerned about being embarrassed, I should be just as embarrassed before God as I am before my fellow man. So if I get hurt, I get hurt. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to come back. You know what this is reminiscent of? Isn't this reminiscent of the Elisha ben Avuya story, where every single day, what was Elisha ben Avuya hearing? What was he hearing? Right? Well, okay, but remember the first part. Shuvu banim shovavim, right? The chutz mi'acher, remember we had a whole machlokes. Did he really hear that? Did he not hear that? But every single day, the Rasha Marusha Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, is hearing shuvu banim shovavim. That's how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, even when we mess up, even when we do things badly, even when we don't live in accordance with what He wants us to do. He loves us so much that, first of all, He actively calls out to the sinner, please come home. And not only that, He suspends the laws of spatial reality. And even though we're packed to the gills when we're standing, when I bow down and want to do vidui, so suddenly what? Suddenly there is enough room for everyone. Such, it's like you feel the divine embrace. Yes?
It's very hard to daven when you're packed so much that your feet are suspended in the air. So why couldn't there be a mace that there would be space?
So you'd have to say that in this context, tefillah must have taken place when they bowed. So I think that, again, leaving aside with the vegetables of Om Tzum Meshachar Mevachim, I think that would be the idea, that they daven when they bow down. So you're right. When it came time for tefillah, everybody had sufficient space. You want to say, why not, let's just bypass the whole problem altogether. Right? And even when they walk in,
you
don't see the miracle. Remember, again, I have to tell you, there are certain things which you say to yourself, I can't wait to see the third base on English, because like, it's hard to imagine this. It doesn't make sense in our spatial realities. I'm standing here packed to the gills, and then the next second I go down to bow down, revach, right? The space for everyone? what does that mean? Where did that space come from? How does that impact the surrounding areas, right? Does that mean the Azara physically expanded, spiritually expanded? Is this like an idea of like Aron Einam in Amida, like the Aron didn't take up space in the Kodesh? What does this mean? It's hard to know. Whatever it is, it's amazing. But what I'm pointing out is that according to, so you begin to see three different messages over here. According to the Medrash Shmuel, so message number one, ultimately is like a national message. There are going to be times of difficulty in Saras. That's the Om Din Tzefufim. But in those moments, we have to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mishtachavim, and then if there's Hishtachavim, a connection, Revach. There'll be perspective and opportunity to take in what is occurring and not be swallowed up by it. Message number two, sometimes Om Din Tzefufim, we're just detached from the world we should be living in. Mishtachavim, Revachim. What do? Reattach yourself. Message number three, Rabbeinu Yonah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much, waits, yearns, pines for our tshuva, to the point that he even changes the laws of the physical reality and allows the space to expand so I could bow down and do my vidui in private. There's a fourth message, which is the message of the Kotzker, Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Kotzk. And the Kotzker says something amazing. He says, there's another message here. And what I want to also point out to you, and you've seen this already, when we speak about these different ideas, understand they're not mutually exclusive. Right? They're not mutually exclusive. The messages all work in beautiful consonance with each other. So the Kotzker says, listen to this. The Kotzker says it's a deeper message, a Klal Yisrael message. Now, Klal Yisrael message is, he says, Om Din Tzefufim. There are some people who always stand their ground. Right? Some people, maybe you know some of them, they're always right. They're always right. There's no reasoning, there's no discussion. It's their way or the highway. Right? So what happens with people like that? Generally, they suffocate everyone around them. There's no air to breathe. There's nothing to do, because if a person's going to always, you know, in life there are times to stand your ground, but many more times to just be mevater. But if somebody always stands their ground, there's no room for anyone else. On the other hand, if a person learns the art of yielding, right, the art of giving into the other, suddenly they're able to coexist much more beautifully. Says the Kutzker, that's the meaning of the message. Omdim. Who are the Omdim? Who are the Omdim? Who are the Omdim? The people who... Oh, now, I want to be clear. There are times that you have to stand your ground, right? In other words, it's not always right to be mevater. It's not always right. Sometimes you have to stand up for yourself. Sometimes you have to stand your ground. But there are people who always stand at their ground. The Omdim, if you're an Omid, Sifufim. There's no room for anyone else. The world becomes a very suffocated existence. A very suffocated existence. But, Mishtachavim, what does Mishtachavim represent? Giving it. Being Mavater. Giving it, right? By the way, what I want to point out, you know, sometimes when we use Lashon of giving in. So what does giving in sound like? Right? Like you're a pushover, like you're agreeing to lose. That's why maybe the better word is even yielding. You know what happens if you come to a yield sign, right? So what do?
Go.
Good. You let someone else go first. You're still going to get to your destination. You're still going to, but you're allowing someone else to come in. What it means, simply being mevater doesn't mean, people think like the midah vatron is just always give in. If you always give in, you're going to have big problems because then you could become a doormat. Midah vatronus means that when you look at life, 9 out of 10 things are not worth fighting over. 9 out of 10 things are not worth machlokas. 9 out of 10 things are not worth conflict. 1 out of 10 is. And those are the battles you have to fight, and those are the lines you have to draw, and those are the things you have to stand up for. Being mevater means I know in life, it is so much better to be happy than to be right. It is so much better to go ahead and have shalom than it is to be right. Being right comes, the need to be right often comes from my ego, from my gaiva, not from a real sense of right and wrong. Omdin. So if you're always omid, if you always stand your ground, you always have to be right, tzvuvim. It's suffocating for everyone around you. But mishtachavim, you learn how to yield. You learn how to go ahead and see to other opinions. You know how to make room for other people. Mishtachavim, revachim. Suddenly again, there's room for everyone. An incredible, incredible idea. In life, if you're an omeid, then again, there are times to be an omeid, but if you're always an omeid, sefufim, no room. But mishtachavim, revachim. Let me show you one last idea, and then we'll stop for today. It's not on your sheet, but if you go back to number one for just a moment. I'm going to skip for a moment. Lo hizik nachash ve'akar b'yushayim me'olam. And I'm going to take it to the last one. V'lo amar adam l'chavero, tsarli hamakom sha'olim b'yushalayim. So this, by the way, is actually quite fascinating. Literally translated, and a man never said to his fellow, my lodging in Jerusalem is too cramped for me. So first of all, what does that mean? You ever think about this for a moment? You ever think about this? That what? That all of Klal Yisrael is converging upon Yerushalayim. So what's your obvious question? Where is everybody staying? So what does the Mishnah say? Nobody complained. What does that mean? Right? So what? Oh, so this is amazing. So excellent. Bruch HaShekivant to the Chasam Sofer. So listen to this. He said, Chasam Sofer says, people often think that this number 10 is an extension of number 8. Omdim tzifufim mishtach, which by the way, many mafarshim explain that's what it is. Omdim tzifufim mishtach, in the Azara, everyone was packed, but then when they bowed down, ultimately again, there was plenty of room. And that number 10 is saying the same thing. In Yerushalayim, how could one city accommodate all of Klal Yisrael? Miracle. It expanded, there was enough room for everyone. Chasam Sofer says, that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, V'lo amar adam tzarli hamakom, which means what? Was it squished in Yerushalayim during the Regalim? During Yom Kippur, was it squished? Yeah. Of course it was. Of course it was. So what was the miracle? What was the miracle? No one complained. Isn't that beautiful? The miracle was that no one complained about the squishkeit. Right? No one complained about how on top of everyone the other one was. Yes?
But if that was a miracle, that means that natural and regular people would complain.
Absolutely. Absolutely, which makes sense. People complain. People, when things are not to their liking, people complain. The miracle was, now what does that mean? So the miracle was that it was squished. It was how many people to a room? Who knows? No one complained. So what's the nature of the miracle? Kodesh Baruch Hu, he took away the complaint function, you know, in our higher thinking. What's the miracle? No one was focused on it. It's the power of Achdus. The miracle over here, says the Chasam Sofer, is the miracle of Achdus. That when you are together with your people, and you feel blessed to be part of something bigger than yourself, you don't mind the minor inconveniences. You don't mind the minor discomforts, because you feel so overwhelmingly privileged to be part of the Klal. That, says the Chasam Sofer, is the incredible miracle over here. They were packed to the gills in Yerushalayim, but no one ever complained because they felt the incredible, overwhelming wave of beautiful Achdus. Yes?
What does it mean it's a miracle
that they felt? It's the miracle of Achdus. Achdus itself engenders a miraculous reaction in a person. People complain. People like to be comfortable. The miraculous nature of Achdus is that you stop focusing on yourself and you begin to focus on the other. It's a different miracle than the others, because the other miracles are actively HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulating circumstances. This is a miracle that comes from within. The miraculous power of Achdus is you stop thinking about yourself and you begin thinking about the other. That's miraculous because people are naturally egocentric. People are naturally self-centered and self-focused.
So it wasn't a miracle from Hashem.
Well, look, everything's a miracle from Kodesh Baruch Hu, because obviously Kodesh Baruch Hu programmed us with this ability. But yes, it was a miracle that came out from within us, as opposed to the other nine, which are overt, clear, physical miracles, ultimately from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is correct. An incredible, incredible idea. And we know this, because in moments where you feel incredible achdos, right? It's like you daven at the kosel on a Shabbos night. And the truth is, I always have this conversation with my children, every zocha to go, which is, my kids tell me, you know, it's hard to have kavana when you're davening at the kosel. And I said, you're absolutely right. And if you wanted to daven with more kavana, you probably could go to a very nice shul daven much more kavana. But when you come to the kosel, you come for achdus. The kavana takes a hit. But the hit that the kavana takes is absolutely overshadowed and overwhelmed by the incredible elated feeling of being together with your people, right? If you're in shul and you're davening, or you're here and you're davening, and someone bumps into you, what's going to be your reaction? You're annoyed, right? You daven at the kosel and someone bumps into you, what's your reaction? Whatever. You know, it's just meaning, it's par for the course. It's par for the course. That's the power of achdus. The power of being together with your people is that you really stop thinking about yourself, and you begin ultimately thinking about the other. And by the way, now to just link this back to number 9, with this will stop. So what was miracle number 9? V'lo hizik nachash v'akrav Yerushalayim. Miracle number 9 is that neither a snake nor a scorpion never hurt anyone in Yerushalayim. So what's the nature of this miracle? So this is incredible as well. What is it saying? Where there is achdus, there is protection. Where there is Achdus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shields us from many of the realities and difficulties of this world. So Yerushalayim again represented the epicenter of Achdus, because that is where everyone converged ultimately to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where there is Achdus, there is no snakes and scorpions. Where there is Achdus, there is a Shmira Yisira, an extra measure of divine protection, ultimately for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in reality, again, the Achdus comes in number 10. People, you don't mind being shuffled around if you're together with your people. So with this Achdus, I stop thinking about myself and begin thinking about the Klal. And when that happens, there's almost like a protective bubble. There's a Shmira that descends on Klal Yisrael. Yes?
I was wondering, during Yom Tov, were all the Yisrael going to be trained at all at once together?
It doesn't sound like it. You know, where this came up most was Pesach. Because Pesach is most complicated, because remember, everybody has to bring a carbon Pesach. So there the Gemara says they had shifts. They had shifts. So I have to imagine this happened by every Yom Tov.
Because Yom Kippur, there are still people.
Right, Yom Kippur is a little bit different, because Yom Kippur, remember again, individuals, I have no obligations on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. People came to the Beis HaMikdash because they wanted to see the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol. And remember again, earlier in the Beis HaMikdash, the part of the red thread, right, was attached by the entrance that people wanted to see it turn white. So there everybody's just packed in. Other Yomim Tovim were much more complicated because people are bringing karbanos. So I'm assuming that just like they had a system on Pesach, they must have had a system on the other Yomim Tovim as well. I guess they just did their own vidui. Yeah. It was, they had a much longer break. You know, in general, davening is, we have such a different form of not a different form of Yiddishkeit, but such a different religious life. Because davening, I guess they said their vidui, they said their thing, and that was it. All right, good. We'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up with a new Mishnah on Monday.